This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozell for Sunday, November 15th, 2015. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Dr. Tom Rozell live right now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. Yes, indeed, I'm live in studio waiting to take your phone calls on any aspect of integrative and natural therapeutics that you may have a question on. Perhaps you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied. Well, here's an opportunity. Let's see if we can turn the light on and put you down the right tunnel and see what you can do to help yourself without drugs and surgery. You know, from the platforms of acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, chiropractic, functional medical nutrition, and so forth. The list goes on, but we're going to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about at 888-630-9625. Today's program is kind of a potpourri of several different things I'd like to bring about and get your attention away from some things and onto some other things. And it's important that you do take control of your health, because if you don't, you're going to be subject to advertising, slings and arrows of why don't you do this because of whatever. And just remember my old axiom is that when you hear something, you read something, ask yourself these defining questions. Who wrote it? What did they have to gain by it? And more importantly, who stroked the check? You know, who paid for it? Who's in the background? Who's the guy that, has an underlying backdoor reason that they want you to have this information? And we can get into all kinds of reason for that. But more importantly, I want to talk to you about certain things today that I think you need to know about. Every week in my practice, patients ask questions like, when was the very first time, and you know, they reverse the thing on me, when was the very first time that you ever saw this? You know, what is that really true all the time? Do things happen? Well, could it be this? And, you know, I really don't want to, I mean, why do I have to give up? And, you know, the list goes on. You fill in the blanks. It's up to you. And it's an ongoing, we never like to be wrong about anything. No matter what it is, that's a human quality. We always want to be right. We want to be in a position where, you know, we don't have to do the penance, saying that it's my fault, the mea culpas for anything that we've done up until now. Well, there comes a time, my friends, when you have to be aware and you have to take responsibility. It's called being informed. Being informed. You have to make sure that you're constantly being informed. I read studies every week, and there's things that kind of jump up at me, and you know, the headlines are what draw you. It's like, for example, melatonin improves bone density. That was in the news and a very, very well-known nutritional journal. But as you go down and you read through this thing, the journal, by the way, was a journal of pineal research, and it was done of postmenopausal women with osteopenia. Osteopenia is where the bone begins to lose its calcium deposit, but it's not quite to the place that's osteoporosis. And they did studies with long-term use of melatonin, and it shows that, in fact, what does happen is melatonin decreases as we get older. And it's a natural hormone that's produced by the pineal gland that regulates all kinds of different things in your body. And, you know, they did a small study. What I'm saying is 81 healthy, and here's the thing, healthy postmenopausal women with osteopenia. Osteopenia is where you already have lost about 30% of the density of the bone. And these women were in the age groups of 56 to 73. And they said that they were using dosages of 1 to 3 milligrams, which isn't a whole lot, by the way. It's one that you can get away with without too many long-term side effects. And what they were looking at is the body's composition and the spinal composition, the density, the bone density of the spine. And the primary researcher was a doctor by the name of Dr. Ann Kristen Amstrup, and biochemical analyst and so forth. And she went on to, they compared these women that were taking 1 milligram dose of melatonin. And what they saw was in their conclusions that they had an increase of 1.4% increased density of the femur neck. That's hip bone, or the long portion of your leg that goes in your hip. Well, 1.4% is not significant. And they went on to say that people who took a higher dose increased density up to 2.3%. Guess what? That's not significantly anything. You can go on and do a lot of studies and take different pieces. And what they don't report is what else were these women doing? Remember, they said healthy postmenopausal women. Okay, so because they're in the study, did they change anything else? Did they change their exercise? Did they change their dietary habits? Were they suddenly aware that they had to do other things? They saw that they had, in fact, you know, this low density of bone in the body. So be very careful. Ask the question, what else is involved in the study? The study said that they found that melatonin treatment helped these participants also lose fat. Okay, again, my question goes to the point of what else did they do during the study period? Does melatonin increase metabolic pathways? It can, yes, indeed. Does it do it at 1 to 3 milligrams? Not so much. The problem is when you get higher dosages of 5 milligrams or more for a long period of time, there are some side effects. The literature shows, in fact, that there are. So ask the question, and I point this out, not that melatonin is a big deal, because, for example, if I fly internationally, which I do on a regular basis, when I come back, I'm kind of brain dead. And what I do is I do take a milligram to 3 milligrams of melatonin for like 2 or 3 days in a row, and then I stop completely because it helps reset my biomarkers in my body so I can sleep and I can get back to doing what I'm doing. But then I also limit my dietary patterns. I usually become very vegan for about 3 to 5 days. I drink a lot of water. I change my, you know, a lot of what I'm doing. So in that, you can say, okay, is it the melatonin or is it all these other things that I'm doing? Well, I'm doing other things as well, but be very careful. Be very, very careful. Look in between the declaration statement and ask the question, what else is there that they're not talking about? Are they taking the data and synthesizing it to make a point? And when I read things in journals that are designed to sell product, or a website that is designed to sell a product, I get suspicious that there may be other things that are involved. And in fact, in this particular study, with a very limited study of 81 healthy postmenopausal women with osteopenia, that there may be something else to this, plus the fact that the study is very limited. Now, when you're talking about thousands of people, even hundreds of people, now you have a study that may get your attention. But in this situation, it's like, really, a very small study? It has to be stated at that point. A case study was observed, an observation was observed, and then see what they did with it. It's you know, you can go on, and particularly in this journal, and I won't mention the name of the journal, because in some situations they do a very nice job, and some things they don't. And sometimes it's just about, what are they trying to sell this month? And they position it properly, and, you know, you get all jacked up and you want to go buy stuff and, you know, take their products. And the bottom line is some of these things work and some of these things don't. There's a whole bunch of literature out now on aspirin and how it protects against breast cancer. Well, you know, we talked about a year ago. Remember about a year ago, August, I said I've been vindicated. I've been telling you forever that aspirin doesn't protect you against heart disease and cardiac problems and episodes of heart, myocardial infarction, heart attacks and stroke and so forth, that it actually, in fact, what it does is increases your risk. It doesn't prevent you. It increases your risk, and it increases your risk by causing you to hemorrhage, to bleed. So you end up with hemorrhagic problems. So the FDA came out a year ago last summer and said, oh, we've been wrong. And they had to do 180 degrees, and they said, in fact, it increases your risk of these conditions, and they can cause certain types of cancers. And, by the way, the literature has been heavy for the last 15 years that shows it doesn't work anyway, and it causes all kinds of secondary problems. So when you look at something, find out who is making out. Bayer, as we know with aspirin, their gross profit is $1.27 billion a year, and that was last year's numbers. But what they did is they came out and said, well, even though that is true, in some situations it can prevent clotting, so we want you to take it anyway. So make sure you take your aspirin. So when you go to your physician, he tells you take 81 milligram baby aspirin, And you ask the question, you know, does it cause other problems? And the guy says no, or she says no. Get another opinion. You know, say, hey, by the way, did you read the article that came out from the FDA and see what they say? Did you read, by the way, that aspirin causes the stomach lining to deteriorate and break down? And so it makes you much more susceptible to bacterial problems and invasion of microphages that can destroy you. Well, you know, they're saying, what, you know, and then they're going to do damage control because they didn't read the article. So, you know, bring the article with you. Say, here, doctor, you know, just in case. I know you'd like to read and keep up to date. So here's what you do. Read this thing and then, you know, we'll have a conversation. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Listen, we just finished Ageless Health 2015, and Ageless Health 2016 is on the calendar. Next year, 2016, October the 15th. Obviously, you're going to hear more and more about it, but we're getting ready. And about 2 weeks from now, my docs will have their presentations. I think next year we're going to have a keynote, or at least an invitational spotlight speaker, somebody that you may know. We're not going to tell you right now, but we'll tell you later. But make sure that you attend Ageless Health 2016. It will be our 16th performance, our 16th year of doing this. This year was over the top. It was amazing. Coming up for us right now, we're working Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, the program, Rozelle Center for Healing, and Caring for Others are teaming up for the annual Holiday Children's Jubilee. And that's going to happen the Sunday before Christmas. And this is our third year of doing this. It's an amazing event. We host over 100 children and their mothers and some fathers. And these people are very desperate folks. They come from battered and abused homes. They come from just homeless areas. And, you know, we'd love to have you help us and show your support. Now's the time to do it. We only have a few weeks in preparation time now. Go to caringforothersltd.org. That's caringforothersltd.org and donate. And, you know, by the way, this charity is kind of unique, and like 100% of all the money that comes in goes for the things that they're trying to accomplish. All the administrative costs are covered by the people who are involved in this, the doctors that are involved, the staff members that are involved, the people around the country that are involved in this. They donate everything. There is no administrative cost, none. The board members get nothing. They get a thank you at the end of the year, which is appropriate, but that's all. You know, and we want you to help us. So go to caringforothersltd.org and donate, whether it's, you know, $50 or $100 or $10 or whatever it is. Help us launch this thing and, you know, support an organization that is out there supporting people who have nothing. And we give scholarships. And when I say we, it's because obviously I'm on the board. You know, we provide scholarships to people who are going to integrative and natural therapeutic schools of chiropractic, acupuncture, nutrition, naturopathic medicine, and so forth. We help people who have nothing. Our doctors all over take X number of patients per year who are destitute that have nothing, and we take care of them as well. So, the educational piece, the ongoing process of helping people help themselves is so desperately important and critical in our society today. CaringForOthersLTD.org. Do it today, and please help us help others. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to talk about something that is going to hurt your neck, your head, your whole body. What is it called? It's called Text Neck. And we're going to show you what's happening to not only our children, but to you as well with your devices and your texting and so forth. We have patients that come into the practice every day that have horrible, horrible problems that nobody can find anything about. So don't go away. We're going to talk about text neck. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon, right on the station you're listening to. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. And when I'm not here, how do you get a hold of me? Well, it's real simple. You go to drtomrozelle.com. That's D-R-T-O-M. DrTomRoselle. That's DrTomRoselle.com. You also can go to RoselleCare.com and send me a note. I promise you that I will be responsive to you if you'd like to talk to one of the doctors at the Roselle Center for Healing and get some one-on-one information where you can go back and forth a little bit. That's simple too. 703-698-7117. Listen, I forgot to say that if you're coming up on Route 495 towards Rockville, you know, from the southern portion of the Beltway going up on that side, inner loop, be very, very cautious. If you have alternate routes, take it, because I got a little tied up today and kind of sitting there in traffic and kind of wondering if I was going to get here to you. But the bottom line is be careful. And, you know, with the Redskins game and everything else, the byways and highways are packed. So be very, very, very careful of what you do out there. It's a beautiful day, but nevertheless, you know, it is what it is. Going to continue talking to you about several different things. We're going to get a little bit more information on aspirins, who they're also called NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory diseases, and how they affect. But before we do that, I want to be respectful. Bob, thank you for being patient. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah. I haven't heard you say, I wonder what your position is. Nightshades, how dangerous is it for me to eat tomatoes? And then I've also haven't heard you talk very much about the prostate. I have a prostate problem.
Oh, well, we talk about prostate all the time, but let me touch on nightshades with you, for you. Nightshades is a group of foods. They're peppers and potatoes and eggplant and so forth. And what they do is, and for many people, can be super sensitive. They cause inflammatory reaction. They cause swelling. And and so with the prostate, as a lot of guys unfortunately experience as they get older, the prostate has the swelling that occurs to it, and it becomes more difficult to urinate and a lot of other side symptoms. But here's the reason that occurs is that we get into habits of eating certain foods and doing certain things. Now, when you go to the your traditional examination and you get a laboratory test called a PSA, prostate-specific antigen, and what that indicates is really only an indicator of inflammation. The differentiating marker has to be the total PSA, total prostate-specific antigen, and free PSA. So what you want to see is you want to see the total PSA stay low, and you want to see the free PSA stay very high. In that situation, you're in a perfect state. However, if you have a high free PSA and you have a PSA, total PSA that's starting to rise a little bit, what you're seeing is you're seeing an indicator of inflammation. So by itself, it doesn't mean much. Most men are going to go in and out of different problems with their prostate. They're going to have cancers. The cancer will disappear and so forth. So the defining factor is taking a group of things together, but going to the place of the prostate being swollen. There are many things that swell the prostate, and you have to be very careful with that. So where do you go? You want the body very alkaline. That means eating tons of vegetables. Even though that an eggplant is a vegetable and a potato is a vegetable, for some people, it really increases inflammation. So what we would do is, you know, you get rid of those things if you're sensitive. However, what else can you do for the prostate? Lots of things. You want to make sure that the zinc levels in your body stay very high. Most people, most guys particularly, are very low or deficient in zinc as we get older, because zinc is a stress nutrient, is a stress mineral. Your body burns it up. It protects you. It helps heal you and so forth. In addition to that, you want to stay away from, you know, one of the things that really cause a prostate to swell, coffee, particularly coffee that is, you know, if you do a French press or something like that, for whatever reason, the, you know, there's many people that say that that gives them trouble. You want to stay alkaline. Coffee's acidic. My mantra, Bob, of sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products, all those things cause inflammatory responses in the body and can cause the prostate to swell. So, you know, you eliminate those things, you drink a lot of water, you make sure that you have a ton of vegetables in your diet, or eat things that will provide, you know, that anti-inflammatory effect. Take, you know, as you're getting older, take zinc. Saw palmetto in a liquid concentrated form will help decrease inflammatory response. Alanine is an amino acid that also is very good for prostate function. So there's a lot of things that you can do proactively. You know, here's something most people don't think about. prostate also is affected by the nerves of the low back. So if you have chronic low back problems and that nerve to the prostate is being irritated, guess what? Prostate's not going to work. It's going to be inflamed. You got a problem. Bob, I hope that helps a little bit. We're coming up to a break. We have to pay respect for those people who bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be back after some very important message and bring you some more updated information on integrative healthcare.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we are in studio waiting to take your phone calls on any aspect of integrated and natural therapeutics. You know, we talk about acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine and functional medical nutrition and chiropractic and manual manipulation and all those things out there you didn't know who else to talk to and ask about. Well, here's your opportunity. That's me. I'm the guy that, you know, will tell you the truth on these things and also kind of take off the veil on some things that aren't so right. Want to encourage you again and remind you that on Sunday, the 20th of December, we are co-hosting with Caring for Others an amazing event. In its third year, the Children's Jubilee. And it's a Christmas party for shelters that are homeless. One of the shelters houses people who are battered and abused. And this is an opportunity for us to extend our hearts, the capacity to help somebody else in the true spirit of the holiday season and Christmas, and make it an event that is over the top. We'd like to have you help us. There is a GoFundMe site up. I'd like you to go to the Caring for Others website, and you can see all about it. There's some quick videos in there. It's caringforothersltd.org. That's caringforothersltd.org. Check it out. Help us. Dig. You know, whether you can afford $5 or you can afford $5,000, this is an opportunity for you to really make some people very happy. Last year, we had over 100 children and their mothers, a couple fathers. And, you know, it was an event that was a night to be remembered. You know, there was Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. They were there and they gave the presents away. And Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus came in on a fire truck. And, you know, we danced with these kids and we parted these kids and we tried not to showcase it. We tried to make them as comfortable as we possibly can. So we need your help. Go to caringforothersltd.org and help us out. Talking about different things, and we want to talk about your problems today at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We've got a couple of people online. We will get to your calls, I promise. And I want to continue that conversation a little bit now on NSAIDs. So, you know, aspirin, you know, what we talked about Bayer making about $1.27 billion a year on. Well, NSAIDs increase kidney disease. Yeah, they do, along with some other things. By the way, the studies have been out there for a long time, not only kidney, but liver dysfunction. But we're going to talk about kidney for a minute. There was a study in traditional medical journals that, and it was a journal of hypertension. You've got a journal for everything, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. You know, it's like we're segueing everything into these compartments. And we have to put, alpha, and not even alpha, but alphanumeric when it comes to diagnostics in our office anymore, you know, to these coding things. And everybody says, you know, POS or DDT or whatever it is. It's like, really? I got to learn a whole new language now. It's like craziness. But, you know, in this blood pressure journal, they studied people who regularly took these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory products, aspirin, Advil, Motrin, things like that. And what they saw was that they had a dramatically increased risk of developing chronic kidney disease. Dramatic increased risk of developing chronic kidney disease. So it goes on. It was talking about that, you know, some previous studies, and there's been many on this over time, by the way, diminished and kind of set aside the risk between NSAIDs and kidney disease and function and outcome and so forth. But it no longer can be hidden, because the truth of it is that particularly in this study where you're talking about blood pressure problems and the like, blood pressure is controlled in many ways, but one of the primary ways is how the kidney works. and because it acts like a safety valve in a dam. You know, if you see all this back pressure coming in from a dam, and the guy in the tower, what he does is he opens up the safety valve, increases the flow of water into the river, it drops the pressure, takes the risk off the dam bursting and so forth. Well, your kidneys do the same thing in your body. There's these tubules, these little tubes at the end of the kidneys, and it's the last portion of filtration. And what the body does is that the body increases the flow through these tubules in the kidney, and it decreases the pressure. You know, when you lay down, your blood pressure actually goes up. It is the job of the kidneys to open that up. So when you lay down, you get a headache. It can be kidney. Now, kidney, like every other organ system, can be affected by the nerves. It can be affected by diet. It can be affected by other organ systems communicating with it as well. But here, the kidney itself now is being compromised. By the way, and I wanted to, remember I said earlier that a study of 1,000 people really isn't a whole lot. It could be some, but you know, in a study of 100 people, it's like nothing. Well, this is a study from over 30,000 patients with high blood pressure. And it went through the researchers at the Institute of Population Health Science, National Health Research Institute in Taiwan. I mean, is really? Okay. But anyway, that's just a name. And they found that those people who'd been taking NSAIDs, nonsteroidal inflammatories, anti-inflammatories, aspirin, Motrin, so forth and so on, right? For at least 3 months were over a third, over 33% more likely to develop and to have chronic kidney disease than those who did not take aspirin, NSAIDs, all those other things. Interesting. Now, they used NSAIDs more than these people were consuming them more than once a day. They would have maybe twice a day. And it could be, and they didn't say whether it was one or two, or they didn't say whether it was, you know, they didn't distinguish it. They just said that they're 23%. And here's, you remember what I said, look at the data and look kind of in between the lines? Well, here's one of those situations where it says that NSAIDs more, these people had taken more than one NSAID a day. And again, you don't know whether they're meaning one tablet or repetitive application of it throughout the day. So even taking NSAIDs for less than, and the conclusion was less than 3 months, dramatically increased the risk by over 20% of chronic kidney disease. So here's the deal, you know, and the conclusion from them was physicians need to be cautious and recommending aspirin. I'll go take two aspirin and call me in the morning. I don't know about you, but I don't do anything like that. There's other natural ways of handling everything. And if you're putting up with chronic pain, you've got to ask the question, why is it there to begin with? Why are you suffering? Remember, I've said structural, chemical, emotional. There's only three things that cause anything, either injury of the body, biochemistry, you know, things you eat you shouldn't, things you need more of you don't get enough of, you know, electromagnetic fields, all the garbage you expose yourself to, and that little thing that we call stress and living in the Washington metropolitan area. Guess what? You're under stress. You know, I saw today on the Beltway. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, you know, people have tight skin all over the place. Chill, friends, chill. It's like, okay, you know, find some place. Go pray. Go someplace and meditate. Sit in a quiet place. Listen to some good music. Come to my house. We'll listen to opera. I mean, that's what I like to do when things get over the top. You have to relax. You have to relax. We're going to get back to the subject just a little bit, but meantime, we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Marianne, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering what to do for irritable bowel syndrome, and also you had touched on osteoporosis.
Okay, so we could spend like the next three programs on all of that, but let me touch on it just a little bit. First of all, irritable bowel is just what it says. It's irritable bowel. It can come with cramping and gas and bloating and distension. It can come with blood. It can come with mucus. It can come with all kinds of things. So as it begins to go through the process and then begin to break down, you can go from an irritable bowel to a colitis to an ulcerative colitis and so forth. So the distinguishing features of all these things are that they happen to be in the bowel. Okay, they're in the intestinal tract. Something is not working digestively, so we have to look at the mechanism of the bowel. First, we have to look at, you know, in our society, we eat junk. We eat a lot of garbage. Even though that we don't think we are, we are. You know, we go out and buy cereals, soft foods. We eat white mashed potatoes. We eat breads. We eat things that are greasy and fried. We eat things that have been processed and nutrients taken out of. So all this stuff goes into this mechanism, digestive system, that's supposed to support us. And then you add that over a period of time to the deterioration of the intestinal system, so it doesn't have its own protective barriers. If you're taking, as we just talked about, aspirin, it rips the lining off of the intestinal system, both upper and lower system. Now you've got a gut that's much more susceptible to things. You become much more irritated by stuff. If you've taken any kind of vaccines, you've been exposed to all kinds of heavy metal toxicity and other things that you may be sensitive to. So the list goes on. So now I gave you a very brief fingernail about what causes the beginning stages of irritable bowel and sets the stage for all this. So what can you do? So the thing that is that you have to answer the question, why is that? What caused it to begin with? Where is it coming from? You have to look at the nervous system. You have to look at the dietary patterns. You have to look at the stress patterns. There's been huge studies that have shown that stress all by itself decreases the effectiveness and the efficiency of the digestive system of the body and shrinks what we call these villi. Villi are like little hairs in the intestinal system that increase the absorption playing field of the gut. And now when they're gone, you've got something called a permeable gut. That means it's just like a colander, a sieve, that's absorbing things in without being fully digested. So now what's happening is your gut is being irritated, inflammation, swelling, irritation goes through the ceiling, and now you've got all these other symptoms. And if you know, you can distinguish a lot of it. So if you eat something and you immediately swell up like you're like 3-4 months pregnant, that's your gallbladder. And it's also the gallbladder, the pancreas not working the way it's supposed to. If you've got a lot of gas and bloating and so forth, and that continues over a period of, you know, the day and regardless of what it is, then you probably have bacteria that's not balanced in the system. If you, you know, if you have a bowel movement and you look at your stool and it's greasy or it's not a nice brown color, I mean, we're getting very descriptive. I hope you've had your lunch a while ago. The thing is that tells you that there's a problem. A gray stool is gallbladder function or pancreas. Pancreatic, you know, a black stool, tarry stool is blood. You know, we can distinguish them, you know, based on coloration. But the thing that is that it tells you there's a problem. An irritable bowel syndrome tells you that there's something wrong, usually allergic. And so when you treat a patient like this, and when we treat a patient like this, what we have to do is begin to reverse the process. We have to begin to first identify those things that may be sensitive to the patient, and we do that with neuromuscle function response testing, and we do it with homeopathic elements that we can check different acupuncture pathways for and so forth. But then we take these things out, we desensitize, we have to detoxify the body, we have to reset the nervous system, and we have to reset it perhaps through, you know, manual manipulation. The lower, your low back from your rib cage down to your waist, those are the nerves that go to the intestinal system. And so you have to make sure that they're firing the way they're supposed to. There's even in the upper portion of your neck, one of the cranial nerves, it's called the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the body. It comes from your brain, it comes all the way down, and one of the places that it touches is the not only the stomach, but the intestinal tract. And so if that's not firing the way it's supposed to, you got a problem. We have to look at the energetic system of the body, the acupuncture energy. So when you treat something, if you really want to fix it and not just turn the symptoms off, you have to look at the underlying why, structural, chemical, emotional, and then you've got to fix the circuits and you've got to fix them multidimensionally and you have to fix them simultaneously. But at the end of the day, it can be done. You know, going back in history, when I was a student, as my son will tell you, when the dinosaurs ruled the earth, and I was in clinic, one of my first patients, and his name, first name was John, and you know, if he's still with us on the planet, I'm not going to give you his last name, but he had very severe ulcerative colitis. And this man, who was 6 foot tall, was down to about 135 pounds, and he was like a scarecrow. And he had something in the neighborhood of about 45 plus bloody bowel movements every day. And he'd been every place. They had him on azulfadine. They had him on other steroids. They had him on, you can imagine the bucket of medications that this poor man was taking. Mm-hmm. So we started treating him. In those days, I didn't know anything what I know now. I knew a fraction of what I know now. But I knew enough, and the clinic knew enough, and our integrative natural science knew enough that we took everything out of his diet and we began to do what we call nutritional challenges. So we started out with juices, only vegetable juices, not fruit juices, but vegetable juices and dark green vegetable juices. And we did them one at a time, and then we increased, and we started giving him juices every half hour. and we did acupuncture with him, and we did manipulative therapeutics with him. There was some nutrients, but we gave them in herbal form. And at the end of the day, 3 months later, before I got to got ready for graduation, this man, who, by the way, was in his 30s, his bowel movements had stopped as far as the bloody mess. He had gone down to maybe 3 or 4 bowel movements a day, and he was beginning to put weight back on. His body was beginning to repair. And, you know, I kept in touch with the clinic, and about, you know, 6-7 months later, the man had put on enough weight that he was up over 160 pounds. He was healing. And those were days I didn't know what I know now. You know what the difference is? Here's a young guy that wanted to save his life, and he'd been every place. And he'd been on all these medications. He says, time out is enough already. They wanted to do a total proctocolectomy with this kid. They wanted to take his bowel and hook him up to a permanent bag for the rest of his life. But he was willing to do what it took. So what I'm saying to you, Marianne, is simply this. Where you're at right now, providing that you're willing to take the steps that you need to take and really look at all the other pieces, is repairable. It's fixable. So we'll stop with that for right now. And if I can help you, send me a note, drtomrozell.com, and I'll do whatever I can to point you in the right direction. I really appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. I'd love to talk to you on any subject. We're talking about a lot of different things that are out there. I spoke to you a little bit about NSAIDs a couple times today. And let's talk about our old friend, vitamin D. And in the line of Marianne, interesting phone call, because I want to talk to a little bit about colorectal adenomas. That means tumors of the intestinal tract. And, you know, out there, you're getting all these things. Do we have to worry about intestinal tract problems? Yeah, absolutely we do, for a lot of reasons. You know, do we have to worry about colon cancers? You bet we do. But not to the place of increasing the risk of bowel perforation, irritation, and the side effects that go along with CAT scans and looking at those things. Well, let's do a non-invasive. Well, there's other things that are coming out, but, you know, vitamin D levels and colorectal adenoma. What I'm going to say, and we're going to come back after the break with the rest of the story, so to speak, but vitamin D levels lower the risk of colorectal adenoma. Conversely, that means that if your vitamin D level is low, guess what? Your increased risk is present. Tremendous controlled study on this, lots of people that were involved, and they measured it. They saw across the board that this was absolutely true. I'm going to touch on that a little bit more when we get back. Hopefully this information serves you. And that's the whole purpose of what I do, is to open your eyes and make sure you understand that, you know what, there's ways that you can change virtually anything, providing that you're willing to step up to the plate. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I'll be right back after these messages.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live right on the station dial number that you're listening to every week, 12 o'clock Sundays. Tell your friends about the program, because we're trying to give you the most important awareness of your health from a natural platform. You know, that stuff without utilization of drugs and surgery. You know, somebody asked me, do you not believe in medicine at all? I said, no, that's not true. Some of my best friends are physicians. You know, and they get it, because if they're my friends, they actually understand systems. Otherwise, I don't have anything to do with them. But here's the deal. You know, if I'm outside and I'm dying and I'm, you know, got been hit by a car, God forbid, and I'm, you know, bleeding and so forth, trust me, I don't want me. I want somebody who's skilled at putting me back together. At the other end of it, when I want to fix and strengthen and move forward and reclaim my life, I want me. I want somebody who does what I do. I want somebody who has the capacity to understand the body systems and how they heal and perpetuate them, not suppress them. There are almost no drugs in the marketplace that increase your capacity to heal anything. What they do is they blunt the symptoms. I want you to remember that. Sometimes it's important that you have to do certain things. Sometimes it's very important to do that. But you have to do it with the guideline of, how do I get myself back to where I should be, that God gave me the capacity to be able to do whatever I wanted to do in this world and to be able to strengthen myself. That's your charge. That's what you're supposed to be doing. We're going to talk about several other things, but before we get there, because we only have a few more minutes late, Diana, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Hi. I am aware that osteoporosis is normally treated with a medication that blocks the bone's ability to shed bone cells because that makes the bone look more dense.
Correct.
But I don't want to go that route, and I'm aware that the real problem is the deep bones are not producing density on their own, so I'm trying to figure out the best natural way to treat that. I know that there's some material that says that fluoride in our water is an awful thing, that it's leaching our bones and so many other things. I was curious how you treat it in your...
Okay, fluorides and chlorines. Diane, what you have to look at is each individual and where they're coming from. The problem with osteoporosis is multidimensional. The bisphosphonates is what you're talking about and how they stop the dead bone from being excreted, and it causes it to be extremely, you know, dense and so forth. The problem is that bone fractures happen in a horizontal way. Do they make them tighter? Yeah, it's like a stick out in the field. If you put it straight down and you try to build on top of it, it's strong in a vertical dimension. But if you kick it in its side, it snaps like crazy, and that's what happens to a bone that's been treated with bisphosphonate, as well as, not, you know, the increased risk of certain types of cancers and what we, you know, we call this melting jaw, and, you know, where you lose the bone density. So having said that, you look at the patient totally. So you start kind of, you know, scrubbing it down. You look, you know, what medications have they been exposed to, what dietary patterns. Something as simple in this area, and you're from the Gaithersburg area, something as simple as over 75% of us in this area, this latitude, are vitamin D deficient. And if your vitamin D level is low and the ranges are 32 to 100, anything under 50 is considered insufficient. You have to get above 50 and stay there for your bones to be dense. And so you want to stay at that level and actually increase it to about 75 for you to have good cancer prevention and things of that nature. But you want to look at the available form of calcium. Most calciums on the shelf don't work. They can't be absorbed. So what you want to get is, how can I get it from my foods? You want to make sure that your foods are clean, they're organic, they don't have the pesticides and all the sprays and all the bromides, the halides that they put on them to, you know, to be protected. You know, so now you get them, you put them in your body, and, you know, all the GMO products. So
I was also recently reading that the balance between alkaline and acidic is hugely important, and I had no idea of that previously.
It has to be. Your body has to stay very alkaline. Your body will do everything it can to stay alkaline, because if it's your bloodstream is acidic, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. So it takes, the way it buffers it is, it takes your bone. It takes the calcium from your bone, because your bone is alkaline, and it drives that acidity back to at least neutral, preferably where it should be, is 7.2 in the blood. So what you have to do is you have to shift your diet to those things that are alkaline. If you're looking at your plate, for example, and obviously this is just rudimentary, if you eat a piece of meat or chicken or fish or turkey or whatever, those are acidic substances.
Oh, okay. Well, let me interject. I'm practicing a vegan diet because I was battling cholesterol and high blood pressure, so I have that under control, only to figure out that I have to also be focusing on
You know, most people need dense proteins, but you got to do it in balance, because if you're not doing vegan the right way, you're causing yourself other problems with B12 and other mineralizations, and you can't absorb them. And that's, you know, there's some people that can. They have the glials in their body that they're able to handle a total vegan diet, but it's at a risk of, unless it's done perfectly. So with osteoporosis, getting your body as alkaline as you can, you do need some dense proteins. You have to make sure that you exercise, but strength exercise, not just going out and lifting weights to tone. You have to put stress into the bones, making sure your vitamin D level is high. High levels of magnesium and bromine, selenium, and so forth are necessary for your body to utilize calcium as well. Strontium is one. So trace minerals across the board, making sure your stomach is able to digest your foods, enough hydrochloric acid, because that's what gets your bone matrix to step up. Diana, I'm going to deal with this on an ongoing basis, but we're coming up to an end. I'm really sorry. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Bye.